Charles, did you stay up for that one last night?
I did. I traveled yesterday and was able to see the, you know, I saw the game on the plane. Then, of course, when I got the hotel. So I saw everything. And if it had just been a normal fight, which I could just hear the commissioner, Roger Goodell, cringing right now, like normal fight, there can't be any fight. But if it had just been a normal fight, that would have been better than most of the actual game action. It wasn't the greatest game in the world last night. But what happened at the end, I mean, the game became totally inconsequential. Now we're talking about what exactly triggers people that far to take it to that level. And the first thing I thought about, remember in Ndamukong Suh when he stomped on, what was it, Andre Girard's head after his helmet came off?
That was Haynes. Was it Haynesworth?
Or was that Haynesworth?
Yeah.
Haynesworth. And Suh had a couple incidents that were similar to that. So I'm thinking, okay, what was the punishment there? That's the first thing I thought. What was the punishment? What did they hand down? Because it has to be at least that, I think, for Myles Garrett. And we'll see where we go from there. But I the league's in a heck of a spot right now because, wow, how'd you like to be in charge of the discipline and decide what you're going to hand out? But I think it's got to be pretty strong discipline in this case.
Well, Charles, before Ashley picks it up, we've just been saying, look, the Browns have six regular season games left. Haynesworth got five games. Haynesworth got five games. Give them the six, and then I'm sure there's an appeals process.
Yeah. That makes sense, right? Always go strong, let the appeals process work, and then it comes down a little bit off of that. So, like you say, give him the six. The appeals process works. Maybe they bring it down to four, maybe five, and hit Haynesworth's number. I don't know, but I don't think six is out of line. That's for sure. I mean, the helmet comes off, and then you use it as a weapon like that on someone. That was awful.
It was crazy.
Absolutely awful.
It was absolutely insane. It reminded me of Antonio Smith trying to strike Richie Incognito with his own helmet. Houston with the Dolphins. He got three games for that. I'm just wondering, do you know Myles Garrett at all? Because I know he's been fined for a couple of tough hits on, I believe it was the Jets quarterback at the time. Trevor Siemian. So, but what's he kind of like? Because, and I'm not trying to make excuses for him, or I'm not trying to justify his actions. I'm just more curious as to his demeanor, because from what I understand it, he's quite a layered guy.
Yeah, that is the understanding, Ashley. I think you're spot on. I don't know him super well. You know, we're not exchanged. We don't have each other in our phones. Mm-hmm. We haven't hung out. I got to meet him before the draft. I did a little segment with him with NFL Network before the draft a few years ago. But you're right. You know, a lot of nuances to him. You know, supposed to be a sensitive guy, writing, things of that nature. But what came out last night, doesn't matter how many layers you have, we have to take the layer we just saw. Mm-hmm. And swinging your helmet towards an opponent, and you know that's his helmet, so he has, you know, nothing on his head. It's really there really is a code that when that helmet comes off, that you don't use it obviously against a person, and really the fight's kind of supposed to stop there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's supposed to be okay, that's it. You know, now we're at a total disadvantage. That thing just kept going and going, and it really, frankly, I think they were lucky it didn't escalate even further. Mm-hmm. Because when Mike Pouncey came in and he started to go to work and they put the boots to him, now you got that. And, you know, Pouncey's going to end up getting fined and lose some games as well. And as he said last night after the game, I don't care. You know, I'll take whatever league put doles out. But you don't do that to my quarterback. You don't do that to anyone. And I think that's where the code really went out the window.
In an overall context, in a larger scheme, should intent matter more than the actual damage done? Because something that we were talking about a little bit earlier, Charles, is that if the helmet had been turned 45 degrees more, it would have done a ton more damage to Mason Rudolph. He got off lucky that it was the bottom of the helmet that hit him, maybe the side by the ear, and maybe a little bit of face mask, but he could have been badly, badly injured. Should the NFL take that into account, that it wasn't as bad as it could have been potentially?
No, I think without a doubt, because the other thing they can take into account is I'm watching it here while we're talking. They're showing it again. As you might imagine, it's going to be on a loop for a while, right? So when he rips his helmet off, all right, and he has it, there's one, you know, you could say there were two Steelers that were in front of him that were trying to get him away from Mason Rudolph.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, just hold the helmet. There's nothing else to do, right? And when you talk about intent, then he swings over the top of them to hit Mason Rudolph. So obviously his intent was to injure severely. So I'm with you on this one. Intent has to count. And let's go back for a second. Something you said that brought me back to it. The Jets game earlier this year, mm-hmm. Trevor Siemian, because Trevor ended up going out with torn ligaments in his ankle, and he was lucky it wasn't worse. You remember how his leg got bent back under him?
Yeah.
And Myles Garrett, I think, got away with a 15-yard penalty and nothing more on that one. The league may go back and take a look at those tapes again, and that may play into what they do with this one. They may say, you know something? We kind of let you off a little bit last time. You didn't take the gift. And so we're going to come down double on you this time. And whatever they hit him with, they could probably add to it, and I would be okay with it. That was just awful. It made the whole league just look primal.
Yeah.
And we know that's part of football. But we also know that as I said before, there's a code and there's a way to conduct yourself. What Myles Garrett did last night, there's no place for that at all.
With Charles Davis. And we were talking earlier as well about the AFC North. And Vontaze Burfict is suspended for the season, is now a Raider. But those Bengals-Steelers games, Charles, it always seemed to be on national TV. And the stuff Burfict would get up to, specifically with Antonio Brown at the time, but others as well. Juju Smith-Schuster in the first half last night gets sandwiched coming across midfield, or the middle of the field on a route. Didn't make the catch. He leaves for concussion protocol. Demarius Randall, Brown's cornerback, goes at Levi Norwood, who was a defenseless receiver. It was helmet to helmet, like direct. There was violence in that game that led up to how that game ended with Garrett and Rudolph. Like this, it felt like there was a build.
Yeah, I think you're right. And part of the build is where the Browns are and the Steelers are in this season. When you think about it, the Steelers came to the season thinking that they were going to win the division, and with good reason. The Browns came into the season, as we know, they could have been America's darlings, but they ended up being much more of, you know, America's villains. But they had the talent to win the division. People were talking playoffs, and some people were getting down Super Bowl bets thinking this would be the way to make a whole lot of money. And remember, when was the last time the Browns had beaten the Steelers at home, right? And when was the last time that had happened? It'd been forever. So you've got so many things going into it. You got a lot of volatile personalities. I think you nailed it about the build-up to the whole thing. And it was a game that the Browns had to win if they had any hopes of making any kind of a run. The Steelers were on a pretty good run themselves. Personally, I think that their division, Baltimore, looks like they're going to run away with it now, and there'll probably be one team that comes out for the playoffs. But they have their shot, and here it is. And, boy, I think you're right. Build up, perfect word for it. Kind of reminded me of the old Steelers-Raiders games back in the 70s. You remember those? Every ball game, someone was getting carried off. Every ball game, there was thoughts of threats of a lawsuit. Remember when Chuck Knoll talked about the criminal element in the NFL, talked about the defensive backs of the Raiders? That's what that felt like last night. And boy, we haven't talked about that type of thing in the NFL in a long time. And frankly, I was hoping we wouldn't be anymore.
Well, Charles, actually, none of us around this table remember that because we're all young and spry.
Because we're so youthful, I mean, and effervescent, Charles.
I mean, we've read about it, but we didn't live it.
Well, I think that's what I was trying to say in my inarticulate way. What I was trying to say is, do you remember reading about that and watching old movies about that? Because you guys may have seen it somewhere. And maybe someone mentioned it in your family and you went and researched it. That's what I was trying to
say.
I saw them on tablets, I think it was, and they were chiseled on.
Yeah, that's it. Came down off the mountaintop, and someone had that, and you saw the primitive tools where they had etched it out like that. So,
exactly,
so that's perfect.
Exactly.
I mean, Charles, you've essentially admitted without saying it that you have the old tapes on your Beta recorder. That's pretty much where it falls for you.
I absolutely did. I absolutely did. And right now, I just want to know if they're going to keep for a while.
Charles Davis, our guest of Fox.
Colin Kaepernick coming in for a workout now. What teams are actually going to be there? Like, this is very suspect for me when you're looking at the league.
Yeah.
Why now? I mean, for me, if you're the league, this is more of you want to get a temperature of what a return would be like.
Yeah, to me, Saturday workout during the season. I mean, Saturday, everyone's, you know, if you're playing on a Monday night game, those teams are traveling, right? If all your scouts are out at college football games across the country scattered somewhere, I mean, to me, this should have been a Tuesday and plenty of time for everyone to get there to make this thing the way it's supposed to be. It's almost like a take it or leave it deal. I mean, it's kind of a weird thing. But they're saying now 13 teams will be represented. The next thing we're all going to do is count the number of teams there, but the next thing is we got to count, not count, we got to check their titles. What scouts,
yeah.
How high up in the organization are they? What's the deal? Because if you want to send the junior scout, everyone can do that, right? But for something like this, if I were the league, this is just me. If I'm going to conduct a workout for him after all we've been through, and a suspect to begin with, right? But if I'm going to conduct the workout, I'm somehow making sure everyone in the league has the right amount of time to get there. And I highly encourage, right? Somehow the word is the commissioner highly encourages your top level person being at this workout. Because if we look up, guys, let's be honest about it. On Tuesday, and we talk about this next week, and we go realize there was one general manager there and 11 junior scouts who just got signed, that's going to be horrible for the league. It's going to look terrible. And that's what I'm eager to see now and see how this goes down. And the other part is, will there actually be true interest? Because if you're a playoff team, a team that's battling for, or a team that thinks that they can win it all this year, my guess is that you have no interest in signing him for this season for sure. Because the last thing you need to do now is, what's that word we always use? Create a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're Colin Kaepernick, are you really interested in signing with Cincinnati? I mean, is that really where you want to go?
I'm not interested in signing with Cincinnati.
Well,
and we're all looking for a job, so I get it, right? So this is where it's going to be but we're all, as observers, we're all going to be locked in on this one. Now, at this point, maybe Colin Kaepernick says, look, I don't care anymore. I just want to get in the league and play.
Right.
That may work. But I really am convinced that playoff-bound teams, even if they show up for this workout, have zero interest in having Colin Kaepernick join the organization, at least for the duration of this season. Because it's kind of like when Tim Tebow was around. Even though he wasn't your starter, you know where the reporters went after every game, after every practice? To Tim Tebow. And now you create problems in your locker room, and nobody wants to deal with that.
See, Charles, I'm kind of torn on this. My initial reaction is that, yeah, it's super suspect. He was under duress when he had to decide if he wanted to do the tryout on Saturday, right? The word is that he had 2 hours to say yes or no. The timing, as you said, is very strange, especially considering a lot of people have come out and said the teams aren't necessarily even looking to add him this year. They're looking to add him next year. So what's the rush? But in that same vein, the NFL didn't have to do this at all. So why would they go out on a limb like this for the reasons that you just outlined? If all junior scouts show up and there's only half the league that's going to be there, that looks bad on them. Why would the NFL go out on a limb like this? That's what I don't understand. There seems to be a missing piece for me. Unless it's the team saying, we're interested in Colin, we want to work him out, but there seems to be a little bit of collusion happening here with the league, so we're going to defer to you guys, and you guys let us know if we're able to see him.
Yeah, I mean, you've broken it down pretty well, because there's so many elements to this thing that I'm not going to come close to figuring out. That part I know.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I come back to, if I'm the league and I've gone through all this that I've gone through with Colin Kaepernick, where you're right, let's be frank about it. As a league, you're riding a heck of a fine line, aren't you? You're riding the line that is right, that you understand that what his protest.
All right, we got to reconnect.
Yeah. I'm interested. You're riding a fine line, Charles.
The phone always drops right with a really good hook.
Oh, the most inopportune time. That's radio, baby.
There was one the other day. Is he back? Okay, so Charles, you were talking about walking that fine line.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. You're walking the fine line of serving your fan base, which thinks that this is all about, you know, you're upset with your military, and it has nothing to do with that, but there's no way of getting that message back. That got co-opted perfectly by other people. So you're riding that line of alienating them by continuing to have Colin Kaepernick out there, but also doing what's right, which is, why is this guy out of the league again? You know, especially when you look around and see who's playing quarterback. So, you know, backup quarterback, it doesn't make any sense at all. So that's where they are. But as I said in the beginning, this is where I would have come down very quickly on it. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to make sure it's on a day where I'm not having college football and I'm going to be losing scouts and people. I'm going to highly suggest that I have my best people there from each and every team. And we're going to do this and at least make it look like the right thing. I'm not giving them a 2-hour phone call and saying, I need you to be there. Here's your workout. Take it or leave it. I'm going to hit it and we're going to go. And if somehow his group says, hey, look, that's not enough time or we don't want to do it, I want to have it all detailed so that when people come back to me, hey, we tried. We gave him 2 weeks. We gave him this. We gave him that. That wasn't acceptable for him. I don't think he would have done that, but at least the league would have done it the right way and would have tried it. A 2-hour phone call, do it in 40, you know, 96 hours. Sounds like something that I read in the summertime when I'm reading my spy novels, as opposed to getting together doing this thing right.
With Charles Davis of Fox, this is Lead Off with Ashley, Ziggy, and Scotty Mack, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So we should talk about marquee games this weekend. I've got two that I'm staring at right now. Houston, Baltimore, I'm less interested in for time purposes. New England, 8-1, coming off its bye at 5-4, Philadelphia. So we know, I mean, it's an out-of-conference game. We know that the NFC East is a complete and total mishmash. The Eagles have gotten better of late. Belichick, with 2 weeks to prepare, is a madman. So that should be advantageous for the Patriots. But again, I keep coming back to these NFC East teams, Charles. Like, they got to win. It might be a 9-win team that wins the division, but if you're the Eagles, this is huge.
Yeah, it's Eagles, Cowboys, Cowboys, Eagles. Pick your deal. And when you look at the schedule down the stretch, despite the fact that this week Dallas is in Detroit, that's the game that I have, that looks like a better matchup for Dallas than the Eagles taking on New England. When you go beyond this week, the schedule really tilts in favor of the Eagles. So you're right. For the NFC East teams, those two wins are at absolute premium. It's the so-called Super Bowl rematch, all the things you articulated. That's going to be one that bears watching. But frankly, the Eagles can drop that game and still be in better shape. The Cowboys, I don't think there's a game out there that they can drop, and their schedule really toughens up down the stretch. So that'll be fun to watch. Now, Baltimore and Houston, wow. You know, the quarterbacks going at it, you know, all the things that you have going into it. Houston leading their division, Baltimore leading their division. I think that's the game we're all kind of locked in on, to see those two go at each other and see how they do it. And a good friend of mine, Daniel Jeremiah with NFL Network, he was asked to describe those two quarterbacks and how they do things. And he says, I'm going to go off sport analogy for you. He says, Deshaun Watson is one of your terrific counterpunchers. If you press him, he finds a way to turn it against you. He's Floyd Mayweather. He said for Lamar Jackson, he comes at you all the time, never backs up, always pressing. He's Manny Pacquiao. I can't wait to see this one go at it.